Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Wednesday, August 16th, 2017.
Hey, hey, ho, ho! Donald Trump has got to go! Hey, hey!
Last night, Michael Moore, who is performing a one-person show, The Terms of My Surrender, on Broadway, brought his audience with him to join a protest which had been going on, led by Refuse Fascism, in front of Trump Tower since Donald Trump returned to New York City Monday evening.
All right, everybody, listen up! Listen up, everybody! He's speaking. We have made it to Trump Tower! No, he's right up, that's the tower, right there! Trump Tower, right there, everybody! And he's in there right now! We are here to perform a citizen's arrest.
Late Tuesday afternoon, Trump doubled down on his take regarding the violence in Charlottesville. He once again equated the actions of white supremacist groups with counter-protesters, even saying there are good people among those who marched with the neo-Nazis and white nationalists carrying torches, saying they simply joined a neo-Nazi rally to protest the removal of a statue.
They wanted to protest the taking down of a statue, Robert E. Lee. So, excuse me. And you take a look at some of the groups and you see, and you know it if you were honest reporters, which in many cases you're not, but many of those people were there to protest the taking down of the statue of Robert E. Lee. So, this week it's Robert E. Lee. I noticed that Stonewall Jackson's coming down. I wonder, is it George Washington next week? And is it Thomas Jefferson the week after? You know, you really do have to ask yourself, where does it stop?
Moore described Donald Trump's comments as just awful, disgusting. Last Saturday, 32-year-old Heather Heyer was killed when a 20-year-old white supremacist plowed his car into counter-protesters, an action which follows a video published by Fox, Tucker Carlson, and The Daily Caller of cars mowing down protesters. It urged viewers to study the technique. Henry Graber of Slate reports that Fox has since taken this down. However, it's the action which killed Heather Heyer and injured 20 others. Those far-right extremists were assembled in Charlottesville to protest the city's decision to remove a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. Columbia Journalism Review reports they may have been emboldened by an editorial in the Charlottesville Daily Progress published on August 10th. It blamed Vice Mayor Wes Bellamy, the only black person on the city council, for calling for the removal of the statue and for the rising tensions. The editorial suggests that Bellamy's call to remove the statue of Lee, quote, attracted the attention of a now dedicated foe, Jason Kessler, unquote. Kessler is a Charlottesville resident and little-known Daily Caller writer. He tried to have Bellamy removed from the city council, and that's how he became known in the alt-right community. Kessler organized the Unite the Right rally, and he applied for the permits to hold it in Emancipation Park. In June, the park was renamed Emancipation Park from Lee Park by a vote in the city council. Meanwhile, back in New York City, across from Trump Tower, actor and activist Mark Ruffalo focuses on Heather Heyer.
Hey, we're here today to commemorate a life of an American that was killed by a Nazi on American soil. Let's say her name so Donald Trump can hear what's happened here. He's allowed these people. He's allowed fascism. He's allowed the KKK. He's allowed Nazis to show their ugly face. And we're here to remind them there's a cost for that. Americans have died because of it. Oh, say her name, Heather Heyer.
Heather Heyer.
Say her name, Heather Heyer. Say her name, Heather Heyer. Say her name, Heather Heyer. Say her name, Heather Heyer. Say her name, Heather Heyer. Say her name, Heather Heyer. Say her name, Heather Heyer. Say her name, Heather Heyer. Say her name, Heather Heyer. Say her name, Heather Heyer. Say her name, Heather Heyer. Say her name.
Today, Heather Heyer, who worked as a paralegal, is remembered at Paramount Theater in downtown Charlottesville. Beta Wilson said Heyer wasn't just a coworker, she was a friend.
I am normally not one to speak in front of a group of people, but today I felt like I owed it to Heather. Heather was a wonderful person. She was not just a coworker. She was a friend. I just wanted to share a few moments that we had together. I worked in the office with Heather, and everyone that knows Heather knows she is not a morning person. That was like her worst thing. And she would come in the morning, and I'd be like, good morning, Heather. And mind you, she comes in at 10, so she'd go straight and get her coffee, because that was really important. We all wanted Heather to have her coffee. But she just was a wonderful soul. She would get to work and stay after, come on the weekends. We all admired her commitment to her job, just to life in general. She was a real person, and everyone that knows her knows that she cursed like a sailor sometimes. And my office is right outside the printer, and I could hear her going off, and something was jammed or something didn't print out, and she'd look at me and she'd like, sorry, and I'm like, that's fine. But she, it was an everyday thing. Her and that printer just were enemies. We will all continue to have sleepless nights, and our pain will eventually fade away, but our memory of Heather will forever live on. And I just wrote a little something that I wanted to share. I'm sorry, Heather, that it ended this way, that terrible, horrible Saturday. That devastating phone call that we didn't want to believe was true, and the aches in our heart of hearing what happened to you. There must have been a mistake, I kept on saying to myself as I entered the doors at UVA, and the numbness in my body and the words that I couldn't speak. Standing there listening but not actually hearing, the inner child in me crying but my adult self fearing. How could this happen like in the world today? After all those marches that ended in violence and all those verdicts that ended in rage and all the hate crimes that go unsolved, when is this so-called change ever gonna change? So I'm so sorry, Heather. Sorry that you cared so much. Maybe if you didn't stand up or you didn't speak so loudly, maybe if you weren't so bold that they wouldn't have heard you and you would still be here. Now your desk will be empty and your coffee cup will leave and sit there untouched. Folder on top of folder, but your fingers will never flip those pages and you will not utter a single name. It will never be the same. But I want to thank you, Heather, for all your passion, for all of your talks, for all of your smiles, for believing that this world can change and trying to make that happen. Thank you for making the world, the word hate, real. But thank you for making the word love even stronger.
Alfred Wilson wears a purple bow tie, Heyer's favorite color. He was a close friend, Heyer's supervisor, where she worked as a legal assistant in a bankruptcy office. He explains how she came to him for a job. He asked her about her work as a waitress. She told how she listened to customers. He hired her and never looked back.
She and I used to joke because I would say she was my office wife.
Wilson says Heather Heyer was an amazing woman.
I want to tell you a little story that happened one time that just probably about 2 years ago. Heather had a friend she was seeing, and I knew she had been seeing him for a little while. And one night, Heather and I had worked late, probably about to 8:30, and we were walking out of the office. As we walked out, I said bye. Her friend was sitting out there waiting for her. And then I come the next day, you know, Heather was kind of a little upset, and I was wondering what was wrong, and she said her and her friend got in an argument, and I was like, what's wrong? And she said, well, when you came out the office, my friend saw you, and I'm like, okay, and I told her that you were my boss, and he was like, you never told me you worked for a black man, And he was like, what difference does that make? And she, basically she sat there and told me she didn't have a friend anymore because she broke up with him. Because it was more important for her that she basically, somebody she knew that would stand by her, me, and didn't care who she was. I didn't care that she had only a high school degree. But she cared enough about me as a person that she stood up for it, even in her own personal relationship. It took a lot of strength for her to do something like that. I mean, far as she knows, the next day I could have decided to fire her. Now she didn't have a boyfriend and she didn't have a job. But Heather, she was always there for everyone. I mean, staff that came through the office, the ladies in the office, they had this unique bond. And that's one of the things, if any of you could ever come to our office, we were like family. All of us, after hours, would sit there and have a couple drinks. We would have laughs with each other. We hugged each other. To sit and think at, you know, one of our staff that actually was there with Heather the day of the crash, had watched her have a baby, watching her kids grow up. Heather's watched my children grow up. And now she's going to have to look down from heaven and watch them.
Wilson says his email has been blowing up with people paying their respect. He spoke in front of a large screen with a photo of Heyer. Then, ignoring Trump's comments about her daughter's death, Heyer's mom, Susan Breaux, rose to the podium with a specific message for haters.
My child's famous Facebook post was, "If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention." She paid attention. She made a lot of us pay attention. Oh my gosh, dinner with her, we knew was going to be an ordeal of listening and conversation and perhaps disagreement, but it was going to happen. And so my husband would say, okay, I'm going to go out in the car and play on my video game for a while. And we would sit and would grill. And she and I would talk and I would listen and we would negotiate. And I would listen. And we talked about all the stuff. We talked about politics. We talked about anything that caught her eye that she felt was fair, unfair. She'd talk about her feelings about the office and how things were going. I mean, she just talked. The girl loved to talk. And she was single, so there was nobody to listen at home. So Mama got a lot of it. And that was wonderful. You never think you're going to bury your child. You never think to take those pictures. They asked me for pictures for this, and I struggled. I had pictures from her childhood, but I had to go to Facebook to find pictures of my child because we were always together. I saw her a couple times a month at least, and we would text each other fairly often, and we would Facebook message at bedtime, "I love you. I love you. You doing okay? Yep, I love you." So I have no regrets on that part. Take pictures of the ones that you love because you don't know when they're not going to be there. But here's what I want to say to you today. This could be a storm in a teacup and it could all be for nothing. I could have said, let's don't do this publicly. Let's have a small private funeral. But, you know, that's not who Heather was. Anybody who knew Heather said, yep, this is the way she had to go, big and large. Had to have the world involved because that's my child. She's just that way. Always has been, and she will continue to be. Because here's the message. Although Heather was a caring and compassionate person, so are a lot of you. A lot of you go that extra mile. And I think the reason that what happened to Heather has struck a chord is because we know that what she did is achievable. We don't all have to die. We don't all have to sacrifice our lives. They tried to kill my child to shut her up. Well, guess what? You just magnified her. Thank you. So here's what I want to happen. You ask me, what can I do? So many caring people. Pages of stuff I'm going through. I'm reading pages of pages, how she's touching the world. I want this to spread. I don't want this to die. This is just the beginning of Heather's legacy. This is not the end of Heather's legacy. You need to find in your heart that small spark of accountability. What is there that I can do to make the world a better place? What injustice do I see and want to turn away? I don't really want to get involved in that. I don't want to speak up. They'll be annoyed with me. My boss might think less of me. I don't care. You poke that finger at yourself like Heather would have done, and you make it happen. You take that extra step. You find a way to make a difference in the world. My child had a high school education. My child was no saint. She was hard to raise because everything was a negotiation. Not kidding, but you know what? She was a firm believer in whatever she believed, and let's do that. Let's find that spark of conviction. Let's find in ourselves that action. Let's spread this. Let's have the uncomfortable dialogue. It ain't easy sitting down and saying, well, why are you upset? It ain't easy sitting down going, yeah, well, I think this way, and I don't agree with you, but I'm going to respectfully listen to what you have to say. We're not going to sit around and shake hands and go kumbaya, and I'm sorry, it's not all about forgiveness. I know that that's not a popular trend. But the truth is, we are going to have our differences. We are going to be angry with each other. But let's channel that anger not into hate, not into violence, not into fear, but let's channel that difference, that anger, into righteous action. Right now, down the road, there's a blood drive going on in Heather's name. Right now, there are people who are here willing to listen to one another and talk to one another. Last night in New England, they had a peaceful rally in Heather's name to have some difficult dialogues. If you ever want to see what one of those dialogues look like, look at her Facebook post. I'm telling you, they were rough sometimes, but they were dialogues, and the conversations have to happen. That's the only way we're going to carry Heather's spark through. So remember in your heart, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. And I want you to pay attention, find what's wrong, don't ignore it, don't look the other way. You make a point to look at it and say to yourself, what can I do to make a difference? And that's how you're going to make my child's death worthwhile. I'd rather have my child, but by golly, if I got to give her up, we're going to make it count.
Heather Heyer's mom, Susan Breaux. Back in New York City, across from Trump Tower, the president of the New York State Nurses Association, Judy Sheridan Gonzalez, has a powerful message for Donald Trump.
So you may wonder, mic check.
You may wonder,
why are there so many nurses here?
Why are there so many nurses here?
Nurses heal wounds.
Nurses heal wounds.
We apply bandages.
We apply bandages.
We treat your pain.
We treat your pain.
But there's a wound in America.
But there's a wound in America.
That no bandage is good enough.
That no bandage is good enough.
There's a pain in America.
There's a pain in America.
That nurses can't treat alone.
That nurses can't treat alone.
Only the love.
Only the love
and the unity
and the unity
and the commitment
and the commitment
of caring people
of caring people
can heal America
can heal America
and we are united
and we are united
to show that we have a face of America
to show that we have a face of America
that believes in justice
that believes in justice
that believes in civil rights.
Thank you.
In other news, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham once again came out criticizing Donald Trump for his stance regarding white supremacist groups and the violence in Charlottesville. He said Trump's words are dividing Americans. In a statement, Graham said many Republicans will fight back against the idea that the party of Lincoln has a welcome mat out for the David Dukes of the world. Duke is a former leader of the KKK who tweeted after Trump's Tuesday news conference, "Thank you, President Trump, for your honesty and courage to tell the truth about Charlottesville and condemn the leftist terrorists in BLM/Antifa, referring to Black Lives Matter and anti-fascist groups." Lindsey Graham, responding to Trump's comments at Tuesday's news conference that white supremacist groups and the people protesting against them share the blame for the violence in Charlottesville, said Trump took a step backward by again suggesting there's a moral equivalency between the white supremacist neo-Nazi and KKK members who attended the Charlottesville rally and people like Heather Heyer, who was killed at the rally. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Ohio Governor John Kasich joined Lindsey Graham, along with former U.S. Presidents George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush, taking aim at Trump's remarks, which have worsened deep divisions within the Republican Party that controls both chambers of Congress and the White House. According to Reuters, a former senior Trump administration official raised the prospect that some White House officials could quit because of Trump's comments. And also today, the CEO of Campbell Soup resigned from Trump's Jobs Council, the seventh CEO to resign from two of Trump's advisory panels. Campbell CEO Denise Morrison said in a company release today, "Racism and murder are unequivocally reprehensible and are not morally equivalent to anything else that happened in Charlottesville. I believe," she wrote, "that the president should have been and still needs to be unambiguous on that point." And 3M Company's CEO Inga Thulin also left a Trump council, the American Manufacturing Council. CEOs have been resigning from Trump's panel since Saturday when Trump blamed both sides for the weekend violence in Charlottesville. Then this afternoon, Trump announced on Twitter that he's ending the advisory panels. He tweeted, "Rather than putting pressure on the business people of the Manufacturing Council and Strategy and Policy Forum, I am ending both. Thank you all!" In other news, leaders of a New York Episcopal diocese have removed two plaques honoring Confederate General Robert E. Lee from a church property in Brooklyn. The plaques outside St. John's Episcopal Church were originally hung by the United Daughters of the Confederacy to mark the spot where Lee is said to have planted a tree while serving in the U.S. Army at Fort Hamilton. And that's the WBAI Evening News for Wednesday, August 16, 2017. Remember that WBAI is a listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica station, and we depend on your support. So please make good on your pledges, and we thank you so much. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.